He grew up on the south side of Houston, but now calls Summerlin, Nevada home. The only sports handicapper in the country to go a documented 14-0 against the spread in the NFL playoffs. With over two decades of experience, he's the go-to sports bettor expert in Houston. He's live from Vegas, but his heart is always in H-Town. The premier wagering consultant in the country. Your favorite sports bettor's favorite sports bettor. This is The Wagering World with Five Star in Vegas. Presented by MyBookie.ag, America's most trusted sports book.
What's good, Wagering World? It's your boy Five Star in Vegas, broadcasting live from Summerlin, Nevada. But my heart is always in Houston, Texas. This is The Wagering World, powered by MyBookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. As always, I'm in here with the youngest man to ever manage and operate a casino sportsbook on the Vegas Strip. I call him the boy wonder of sports betting. He's my brother from another and super producer of the show. What's good, Casino Royale?
What's good, Five Star? What's up, Wagering World? What was good was Thanksgiving. You know, that treated us nice.
Yes, it was.
Good food, spent time with the fam. What everything was like with you, Five Star?
Man, it was cool. I was at Caesars with the family. It was, as you know, Lil Dean's birthday. Shout out. My son Dean, man, it was his birthday on the 21st, so we went down there, and my wife decided she didn't want to cook, so we ended up staying there through Thanksgiving, went to the buffet and things like that. Had a good time, just some, you know, family time together, but, boy, Thanksgiving morning didn't start out cool for me, because, boy, I was heavy on Detroit. I took a lot of money on Detroit first half, -4, it pushed up to -5.5. That's why I really sometimes don't like giving out games on the bench early in the week, because it's a lot of guys that pound. They take guys to pound town, and next thing you know, all the money's on the side that I gave out, bro. So, hey, we survived that, fought back, really did good on the props on Thanksgiving, man.
Hey, Five, I was so glad I overslept. I was actually the casino the night before playing Baccarat. I did kind of good. I was like, I'm not giving my money away. I'm on these early games. I'll wait till second half or something like that. And I remember you calling me that night, too. Take the lines. I said, man, thinking to myself, he done gave that out on the radio. And usually when you do that, the lines always shift. I don't know what type of power you have that you give to the people to make a move like that. But I'm really looking forward to, like, more of your props, man. Seem like you got something good going on.
Oh, yeah, I've been on them props, man. And the side still is steady, too. We have a winning year for sure, man. But, you know, it's the last month of the year, man. December's arrived. You know, the weather's, it's a little nippy. You know, it's sunny out, but, you know, it gets a little cold up in these mountains, man, where we're at, you know, about 35, 40 degrees at night. Everybody has their Christmas decorations are out and stuff. You know, it's the time of the year when, you know, if you got kids, wives, significant others like we do, bro, you gotta go play Santa. You know, it's time to go donate to that American economy, you know. But I remember, man, in the hood, we had an old saying, you know, I don't know if you remember this one.
What?
It's Christmas time.
Oh,
you remember people used to say that? That applied, man, if you was wasting your money. Like, you, man, if you say we about to kick it, you like, man, let's go hit a dice game, bro. Let's go. One of your partners would be like, nah, bro, it's Christmas time.
Real.
Meaning, man, you got to get mom and the baby some gifts. You know, don't be wasting your money. Also, that little saying used to always apply when it used to be a warning. Like, say you hanging out with your partners. Usually, y'all leave the club. Y'all go to the after hours, bro. Be like, nah, bro, it's Christmas time. Because, you know, Christmas time, anything could happen, man. That's when all of the real jack boys are, because everybody got kids to feed. Everybody got, you know, mamas to take care of. Everybody got, you know, daddies to take care of. And the worst thing you want to be where we from is the dude who couldn't get your kids no Christmas, right?
Right about that.
So it's a lot of extra turned up pressure, you know, in the hood when it comes to this time of year. So it always was a saying, you know, it's Christmas time, like it's a warning to chill, man. And some dudes that I knew, man, they even stopped hustling, bro. They wouldn't even, they'd turn everything off. November 30th, today, yesterday is a wrap. December 1st, oh, man, everything is no-go until, you know, the new year start, because, you know, everybody want to, you know, get to the new year. The worst thing you want to do is get locked up for Christmas, you know, take an L for Christmas, because you got stuff to handle. You're trying to make it to the new year, because that new year brings hope. So with all that, I say this to say, Wagering World, it's Christmas time.
Hey, That's one of my favorite lines in the song when Drake said, "I'm more concerned when dudes thinking about Christmas in August. Like, do anything to get gifts for their daughters." Like, I felt that so much. Like, it's Christmas time. Hey, it's all go. Like, I ain't worried about your kids. Hey, I'm worried about my kids. It's time to take care of what I got going on, my family, and everything else around me. And hopefully my bookie good to us this Christmas 5-star. Hopefully we could do some damage to them and they pay us nicer and everything be on them.
Hey, that mentality is what I'm speaking about, though, is, you know, everybody will, you know, we grew up at, it's Christmas time. So it's time to turn our focus all the way up. We can't be playing with the money. It's Christmas time. We got things to take care of. You got things to take care of. Wage the world. It's always us versus the machine. All right, man, let me tell you about a company that we're trying to get to pay for these Christmas gifts this year, and that's MyBookie.ag. And MyBookie, it doesn't matter if your squad is up or down. You can easily cash out or bet the game live and come out on the winning side. Use MyBookie for daily odds boosts, same game parlays, and take advantage of huge prize pool contests. Every single sack, fumble, touchdown, and now shoot a three. They got that basketball going again. To get started, go to mybookie.ag, and on your first deposit, use my promo code, that's 5-star. Let's spell it out, that's FIVESTAR. And remember, if you're having any issues with loading the account, hey, give us a DM. We'll help you get lined up with our crypto consultant and get you in here at mybookie.ag. Don't forget to try the MyBookie money bag grab. Hey, man, that's a potential Super Bowl winner. Crazy odds. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag. A lot of football went on during the holidays. Hey, we were pretty good on the sides, but we were exceptional on these props. We cashed David Montgomery to score a touchdown. Hey, man, your Detroit Lions are falling apart, you know. They are who I thought they were.
Oh, my God, man. They just got to make some adjustments. You know, regression was definitely going to be due somewhere. But when golf sucks, he truly sucks. But when golf is good, he's truly, truly good. And this weekend, they're going to be going to play our boys, the New Orleans Saints, down in New Orleans. And I think they'll get the Saints a run for their money. Derek Carr is going to be trouble.
I think it might be golf and trouble. Because, man, that defense for the Saints, they rev it up, man. I expect them to give Jared Goff more issues that we saw. He's kind of falling back to his old self again. He's small hands Goff. All right, man. Another Saint, former Saint that we bet on was Brandon Cooks. He went over 35 and a half easily, flew over it. Dak also got over the 1.5 touchdowns for us. Me and the clients, we took Brandon Cooks to score a touchdown at plus 180. So the Cowboys, they really did well for us. On Thanksgiving, all the props came home. Hey, man, I was looking crazy at you about your Super Bowl pick for the Cowboys preseason. But, man, now that I'm starting to step back, the Cowboys actually are a pretty good team this year.
Hey, I tried to tell you, man, as long as the Cowboys stay healthy, they had a shot. Like, Parsons looking good on the defensive side. Dak, CeeDee Lamb, they looking tremendous, along with Brandon Cook. 5-star. Watch. Watch at the end. Like I said, Eagles, regular season team, that's where we make the money at. Dallas Cowboys, you know, playoffs, they always fall short. But this year's another year, 2024, they want some more. Let's go.
But wait, you're an Eagle. I thought you was an Eagles guy. Okay, Eagles, I got you. I see what you're trying to say. You're saying that you like the Eagles regular season. You like the Cowboys to do it this year.
You got it.
Playoffs. Yeah. Hey, I could see either one of those teams getting there. I prefer the Eagles, honestly, but hey, the Cowboys, when they played the Eagles, if you watch the game like we watch, the Cowboys should have won that game. They really played better than the Eagles played. Big game coming up actually this weekend with the Eagles and the Niners, a rematch in the NFC Championship game. We'll talk about it a little bit later. We got a lot of opinions on that one. Then we went to Maryland, to College Park. Talia Tungavaloa came through for us, over 193 yards passing against that vaunted Michigan defense. Did his thing. Hey, man, the Terps must have hit their playbooks because they were able to put up some yards on Michigan. They put up more yards and points than teams have lately. So great job by them. I'd seen from the past success that Tungavaloa had against them. In his years in Maryland, that he was going to be able to successfully move the ball against Michigan. a lot of people don't realize that he's the all-time leading passer in yards in the Big Ten. That's a pretty high recognition, a high claim to have. Yeah, Little Tagovailoa is the all-time passing leader and through all the years of the Big Ten. That's impressive, man. And then next we went to Arizona. Got with my guy Jed Fish. We took star wide receiver Tatario McMillan to go over 7.5 yards. It's crazy because, you know, I've been talking about McMillan for so long because I really love this Arizona team. And the other day, one of the people that I really, really respect in the NFL, Lewis Reddick, he posted about that this guy was going to be the number one receiver taken in 2025. And I said that about a month ago, man. This kid can go. But the strangest thing is he was at like 68 yards, Sino. And the last game, I'm talking about Arizona's up about 30 points at this junction of the game. It's over. All they got to do is take a knee. Jed Fish puts in Jaden Delora, who used to be the quarterback, and allows him to throw a bomb on the last play of the game on the backups against Utah. You literally say that Utah's coach Whitnam was really angry. I don't know what's going on, but that's going to be a budding rivalry we need to watch between Jed Fish and Coach Whitnam, Kyle Whitnam over at Utah, because I'm sure he was ticked off about him running up the score. And I think Jed Fish used the excuses, hey, he was getting Jaden Delora a touchdown pass, but it worked out perfectly for us because McMillan goes over 7.5 on the last play of the game. So somebody caught a bad break and it ended up going our way.
For real, it definitely went our way, and it went their way too, because to take a shot like that, to be up by that much, boy. Somebody was listening to the Wagering Roar and they had that side, and it seemed to be like the right side.
Hey, it feels good to be on the right side. Then we went to La La Land. Last time we're going to probably see Caleb Williams wearing the scarlet and gold. He sailed over 290 yards, but man, he sold us out on the over 1.5 touchdown passes. That's the only loss that we took, man. It was some heavy juice on there, like -190. My betting mind automatically tells you to always take the juice when it's something like that where you got a flip of a coin. You always going to take the +200. So that's a bad handicap on my part right there. Man, they got beat by a weak UCLA team. UCLA isn't even that good. They beat the brakes off the Trojans. It seems like their locker room has quit on one Lincoln Riley. I guess that they're following their star player. I don't know if I want Caleb Williams leading my team, man. He showed me some things that I don't like with his personality, bro. But, hey, we got another quarterback coming on this show. Soon one of the best quarterbacks that we've seen in college. He was Conference USA Player of the Year twice. For the Tulane Green Wave out our way in Louisiana, man, and a Super Bowl champion with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, man, just like CJ Stroud. He set the league on fire as a rookie. When we come back, we'll have Sean King. Send us out, Sino.
I gave my dog a couple hundred, told him hold his head. He locked up, so I pray for him before I go to bed. My back was turned when y'all was talking, but I heard what y'all said. Got all these tears out on form, but they ain't never shed. They said he went through hell and back when we was living there. Trying to last a day inside my shoes when I got different pairs. I can't believe this little chick thought she was slick. I got the spits and then I did that. Had to show her that I didn't care.
What's good, Wager World? It's your boy, Five Star in Vegas. Me and my guy, Sino, back in here. We got a special guest, man. Someone I'm proud to call a friend, man. Super Bowl champion. Two-time Conference USA Player of the Year. The accolades, you can go on and on, man. Former Tampa Bay Buccaneer, man. Sean King is in the building. What's up, Sean?
Wow, what's up, Sean?
Man, what's up, man? Thank y'all for having me on, man. I'm excited to do it.
Awesome, man. We're glad to have you here in the Wagering World, man. So I got to start out with some heartbreak, man. I'm going to take it to the scene, man, because I was right there with you. But I know that you was really there. You know, I was there sitting at home as a young black male rooting for you, man, hard with the homies on the couch. But you was the one that was actually involved in this play, man. It's 1999, the NFC Championship game, man. It had been a defensive struggle between your team, the Bucs, St. Louis Rams, man. It's the final minute. You finally caught a rhythm, man. You threw a dart, a 23-yarder to Bert Emanuel. And I remember Coach Dungy called a timeout. And I already was a conspiracy theorist even at that age. So I'm like, why he called a timeout? He should have called a timeout. Why did he call a timeout, man? He should have called a timeout. They're going to try to review it because they had just brought back reviews and they had been doing some little jinky stuff all year. So all of a sudden they tell you guys they're going to review it. What was your thoughts at the moment after you had made the play? You know, you're getting focused to get ready to take the lead against St. Louis and go to the Super Bowl as a rookie quarterback.
Well, first of all, why you bring up old stuff? So you was getting off on a good foot and you weren't going to bring up heartbreak. we didn't know it was being reviewed. As you mentioned, they had just brought the review back into play in the National Football League.
Wow.
And because we called timeout, we didn't even know. Like, if you go back and you ever can find the film, I had called a play in the huddle and we were about to break the huddle and the ref ran over and was like, Zion, you know, you got an internal clock when it comes to TV timeouts and that kind of stuff. And wow. I was ready to get to the line and run the play. And, you know, then all of a sudden the ref points over and the officials over looking through the little camera. I was like, I still didn't really like grasp what was going on because the ball didn't bobble. Like, there was no part of me that didn't think that was a catch.
Right.
So, I mean, it really was surprising. And it put us in a weird situation because we had a play call for that particular situation. Now, all of a sudden, I think it was third or fourth down in forever because we had to go all the way back. It was a weird deal. I still think the NFL owes us like a half a ring or something for that year.
Right. I totally agree with that because later on in the offseason, they was – just like the NFL does, I always say the NFL just like the government, man. They do whatever they want to do to you, and you have to take it. Because they came back and they made the Bird Emanuel rule, and to this day it still exists. And now a lot of players have benefited from it. So, hey, man, it's kind of like, you know, you kind of sacrificed for everybody, man.
Yeah, it don't make me feel any better about the situation, though. It really doesn't.
Yeah, but you got them back. A lot of people don't know that you got them back the next year. You had a real successful year the following year, your sophomore year in the NFL. And I still remember that game on Monday Night Football when you got back at the Rams. The next year they was beating you guys 35-31, and you led the winning drive at the end of the game. So you was able to get a little clap back on them.
It's funny how different the games was. I think the game in the NFC Championship was like 11-5 or 11-6 or something crazy. And then the following year, Monday night, it was like 38-35. So, yeah, we got the best of Kurt Warner. If I ever see him at a bar, he owed me a beer.
Yeah.
I got over on him that day.
That's right, man. So I want to ask you this. A lot of people wonder, you play for two of the most popular, successful coaches in the NFL. Being at Tampa Bay, what was the biggest difference playing under Tony Dungy, who I know you were very close with? You guys share a lot of the same ideals in life. And then, you know, it changed drastically to you going to Chucky with Coach Gruden. What was the biggest difference between those two and how they ran the locker room?
I think the organization was set up under Tony to really be in a position to emulate the Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, to emulate the New England Patriots, maybe not with the amount of championships, but with the consistency. If you notice, Tony goes to Indianapolis, hires Tom Moore and Howard Mudd, OC and O-line coach. They draft Peyton. They stay together for over a decade. I think Tampa would have had the success that Indianapolis had if they had just had more patience with Tony Dungy. Gruden was a good coach. He was successful because for the first time, at least since I have been there, the organization invested resources on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, we went out and added Thomas Jones and Michael Pittman and Joe Dreavicius and Keenan McCardell and Ricky Dudley, and they had never really done that while I was there. Most of our resources had been placed on making sure that Sapp and Brooks and Lynch and Rondé, who ultimately ended up being a Hall of Famer, so that was the right decision, they were compensated properly. So I think Gruden came in right time, right place. Obviously, He couldn't find sustainability. So I think we won a Super Bowl. I think we'd have won more if they would have stayed with Tony.
Still in here with Sean King. Matt, you were one of the few guys who had success as a rookie quarterback in the National Football League. You know, now you're seeing it a lot more with guys like C.J. Stroud. Bryce is coming on, along a little bit. But, boy, when you did it, it was really like a rarity. You rarely seen success as a rookie quarterback back then. What was the difference between you and the rest of those guys? How were you able to slow down the game and perform still being so wet behind the ears at that time?
Well, I think the way it was set up was, in some ways it's still similar. If you were a rookie quarterback drafted to a team where you actually were going to play, y'all weren't very good. So I think there were a lot of rookies that played, but generally the NFL at the time, I think, exhibited more patience than they do now. You had 2 years to really be terrible. Like Troy Aikman was terrible as a rookie. Peyton Manning, terrible as a rookie. Like some of the more prominent, you know, quarterbacks that we think of now that had great careers, they started off rocky. And I just happened to be in a situation. I didn't start day one. It was Trent Dilfer. And I just was mentally prepared, and I was mature enough to handle the stress that came along with not just playing as a rookie, but having the expectation to win as a rookie. And I think that's kind of what separated what we're able to do from some other people, is it wasn't just go out there and, you know, have fun and make mistakes and we'll figure it out on the back end. It was, if you don't screw it up, we're probably going to win. So not a lot of rookies can play under that kind of stress. That stress and pressure, but fortunately, we were able to get some good things done.
Bro. Yeah, right, exactly, man. This one, another thing, I know you're like myself, you're a married man, so I don't want to get you in no trouble, but man, tell me, what was the lifestyle like as a rookie quarterback in the NFL, being a starter, and you were in your hometown, basically playing as the star quarterback?
Well, I never had any RG3 moments where I thought about writing a book, but if I did, man, it'll be a top seller. Because, I mean, the world was different. Interactions between men and women were drastically different, and I mean that in a good way. It was more organic. The boys, we would call it spit game. Like you had to have, you know, the ability to gain a female's attention based on your wordplay. You couldn't send it to your Instagram or your TikTok or your social media page. And, you know, you just had more organic fun. I don't think the criminal element existed like it does now. You know, you can invite people that you just met to your house. You weren't really worried about them stealing nothing. You know, you couldn't take pictures from your phone, so you weren't worried about anything like that. But, man, we had some good times. We won a lot of football. We had a lot of fun. I leave it at that.
I already know, man. Hey, I can imagine. And so, as a guy who was one of the best rookie quarterbacks to come through the league, what do you think about the current rookie quarterbacks that we got in Bryce, CJ, Will Levis, and also the kid that's hurt over there in Indianapolis?
I think you have to have patience, you know, because if you think back, Trevor Lawrence is considered one of the top young quarterbacks in the NFL. Think about his rookie year with Urban Meyer. I mean, if they'd have judged him based off of that, then, I mean, he wouldn't be what he is today. I think you have to have patience. CJ Stroud, right, I thought was an outstanding prospect. I think Bryce Young's an outstanding prospect. They got to get better around. No matter who the coach is, you know, that owner has to understand. Adam Thielen is his best wide receiver. They got a below average offensive line, and they don't have a top 20 running back. So, I mean, this isn't Jesus. You're not just going to turn wine to water as a rookie quarterback. Like, you need disciples. You need people around you to help you, you know, create real change. Anthony Richardson was doing a lot of great things. I think one of the things that he's going to really have to balance is how to use his athleticism and still be able to remain healthy. And I think he saw this year it's a very physical league. You know, you can use it as an asset, but you also have to be able to just, you know, win throwing the football. Will Levis, I wasn't as high on him coming out of Kentucky, but I know he did some really good things that initial game against Atlanta. Kind of been a little inconsistent since, but I mean, that's a good spot for him because I think they decided to move on from Ryan Tannehill, and obviously they view him higher than they view Malik Willis. So if he can finish the year out strong, then that'll be his team going into next year.
Alright, man, we really appreciate you for coming on, Sean. We'll talk to you soon. We'll get a chance to get to any games today. We both were a little, you know, tight on time, but I'm sure we'll talk again. I'll see you at the Cigar Bar really soon, man. That's one of the brothers that, you know, really were the foundation that a lot of where now we had this season in the NFL, the most starting black quarterbacks on opening day in history, having 14. I'm not a guy who plays a lot of the race card stuff, but I do deal with reality and truth. And the facts is that for many years, a lot of brothers who were good at playing quarterback and who strived to be NFL quarterbacks couldn't, simply because of their skin color. They were forced to move to different positions, one of them being Warren Moon, who had to go to the Canadian Football League. And luckily for us, as brothers that have sons and who played the game, now we have a lot more role models to look up to in the NFL. All right, man, we're going to go on a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to jump into the present where our feet at and give you guys some winners. Big weekend coming up, so you know, all these college football championships coming up this week, and I can't wait to bet them. It's like we wait all year for this one. It's like a culmination of all the hard work we put in, and we used to do really well this week, and I look forward to it. Send us out, Sino.
Yo, I navigate like Ferdinand Magellan. I rock furs, fraternizing. Stone Island, yacht mast on a yacht to watch baptize and take a dip. The crib, four-size brick and stone mountain. I'm out in rough seas. I feel favor, the smooth ocean. Never made a skilled sailor. My chick from Baylor. Suntan lotion, management consultant. I rock affairs like a sultan. It's spiritual.
And we're back in the wagering world. Hey, man. In here with my guy, Casino Royale. You can call him Casino for short. He's the youngest man to ever run a casino sportsbook on the Las Vegas Strip. As always, we're broadcasting live from the rooftop, Sumlin, Nevada, man. Watching a couple guys tee off. Watching the palm trees sway. Just another beautiful day, man, right here on this West Coast. Another beautiful day to get some money. And I can tell you where you can go get your money at, man. You looking for a trusted book? Let me tell you about my homies over there at mybookie.ag. Because when your money's online, you got to have a trusted sports book that gives you tools to win like MyBookie does. At MyBookie, doesn't matter if your squad is up or down, you can easily cash out. You know my saying, oatmeal always beats no meal. Or if you're behind and on the wrong side, man, just go live and bet it and come out on the winner's side. You can use MyBookie for daily odds boost, same game parlays, and take advantage of huge prize pool contest. Every single sack, fumble, touchdowns, another chance to hit payday. And basketball's here, man, professional and college, man. To get started, go to mybookie.ag. On your first deposit, use my promo code. That's 5STAR, FIVESTAR. That's one word, spell it out. 5STAR, FIVESTAR. Hey, we're going to match all your deposits up to $1,000. That means if you deposit 50 bucks, hey, man, we're going to give you 50. You deposit $100, we're going to give you 100 bucks. You give us $1,000 on that book, we're going to give you back $1,000, man. You can't beat that. And don't forget to try the MyBookie Money Bag Grab so you can get a potential Super Bowl front runner at crazy odds. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. Hey, fun show so far. Got a chance to sit down with my guy, Sean King, and chop a little shop, you know, talk about his career in the NFL. And also, man, Sean's a really sharp dude. He's a really good bettor as well. And, you know, he should be. He was around the game and had some inside information from being such a good player for so long in that league. Man, we're going to rock the show just a little bit different today. No time for the past. We kind of went over what we did 2 weeks ago. As you know, we had the holiday off. So let's jump right into the present. Let's get to right where our feet at so we can get you guys up to speed so we can hit this championship week hard.
All right, 5STAR, let's do it. Man, it's championship week. Ogden and Utah about to play tonight. So we can't discuss that one as the listeners won't have time to make a wager on it. But we can jump on the rest of this weekend. What you got up?
I love betting conference championship games. You know that. It's like a culmination of all your work. We didn't watch all these games for nothing. So this is the time near that I actually start slamming, you know, 5 units, 10 units. I actually did play Washington tonight. I bought it up to 10 points. So we'll see how that turns out.
All right, let's get on one. early at 9 a.m. out here in Vegas. When the book first opened up, the Texas Longhorns, they go face against the Oklahoma State in Jerry'sville for the Big 12 title. Texas land 2 touchdowns and a hook. Who you rolling with in this one? I think I kind of know.
This has been one of the best coaching jobs we've seen from Mike Gundy out there in Stillwater. Now the question is, can the Cowboys quarterback Alan Bowman protect the ball? Man, this guy's thrown 11 interceptions this season, 6 in the last 3 games. The last time he protected the ball, you know, was against OU, and they upset the Sooners. Texas does allow some plays in the passing game. They allow quarterbacks to complete a pretty high percentage, but can Bowman make enough completions? He's very inaccurate, kind of erratic, but he's coming off from some really bad play, and I know that Mike Gundy is a really good quarterback coach, as he played the position himself in Stillwater. A lot of points to give up in the championship game for me, so you know, I don't know, man. Okie State, I know they won't be able to stop Texas, so it's probably going to be a shootout, so the over is probably the play, but I'll be looking to the side simply because Gundy's had a lot of success against Texas. He's 7-3 in the last 10 matchups, winning as a dog the last 2 seasons against Steve Sarkisian. Sarkisian has never beaten Gundy since he's taken over the reins of Texas, and the recent past history has just taught me not to trust Texas in these spots. I like the swag of the mullet. I'm rolling with the man that once famously said, I'm 40, I'm a man. Give me Oklahoma State. It's up to 15 now. So Oklahoma State plus 15. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, y'all heard the man. Oklahoma State plus 14 in the hook. That's who we rolling with. But hey, we got Big Sign still in gym. He back on the sidelines in Indianapolis as he lead the Michigan Wolverines against Iowa. Iowa catching 22 in the hook, man. Total 34.5. From that, it's saying the Hawkeyes don't stand a chance. They're not going to score. But what you think? You think they have a chance, five-star?
Hell no. Seriously, no, man. It's always any given Saturday or Sunday. That's why they play the game. But Harbaugh is back in his old stomping grounds, man. I'm old enough to remember when Harbaugh in his final years in the NFL was the quarterback in Indianapolis, man. I watched football and memorized every player and coach for every NFL team, man. At like 7 years old, and I remember Harbaugh was with Indianapolis, man. Like I said, I was a weird kid. I went from Transformers to like straight to like remembering playbooks and remembering different players on teams, man. But yeah, I love Kirk Ferentz for Iowa. He's a really good coach. What happens, you know, is that he lost Cade McNamara. This would have been the Cade McNamara game because he transferred from Michigan. He lost his job to J.J. McCarthy, and this could have been his revenge game. I heard he's supposedly giving up some of the playbook and all this stuff that Michigan runs to Iowa, but it won't matter because the current starter for Iowa is really bad, Deacon Hill. He's only completing 48% of his passes. He has more interceptions than touchdown passes, and now he's facing one of the top defenses in America, and in my opinion, the top defense in America. I just don't see how Iowa scores in this game. They probably can force a few turnovers. That's what they're known for doing, but end of the day, I mean, you can't handicap turnovers. You know, you have to look at the numbers. You have to look at the games. And with that said, I think that Michigan will end up wearing them down. Michigan is 6-3-1 against the spread in its last 10, and it's 7-3 against the spread in their last 10 games against Iowa. Man, lay that 22.5 with the Wolverines. I think they're on a mission to get back to the college football playoffs. This is Harbaugh's first game back. Ring the bell.
Yeah, y'all heard the man. Take the 22.5 with the Wolverines. I should ring the bell again. Matter of fact, you know how what? I will. And I'm going to ring it one more time. Because I was on Twitter the other day, and I was saying that the Wolverines going to win the big dance, and everybody was laughing at me saying, no, they won't. If y'all don't see what's happening and the story behind this Wolverine team with Jim Harbaugh, I talk about that later after they win and holding it up over Georgia and everybody else. But let's go down to Charlotte, man. We got Louisville. They facing Florida State for the ACC championship. And the Seminoles, they without their star quarterback, Jordan Travis. Louisville catching 2 in the hook. Can Louisville pull up the upset? Or FSU too strong, 5-star?
Man,
from what
I seen
last
either.
Week, Jordan Travis plays a big part in his offense, man. What they gonna do?
Yeah, excuse me. I don't trust either quarterback in this game. See, no, I don't trust Rotemaker, however you say his name, for Florida State. He didn't show me much, and man, I really don't like Jack Plummer for Louisville. They've been winning despite him this year. They have a really good coach over there, Jeff Braun, man, and he's a quarterback whisperer. He's got probably the most and maximized Jack Plummer, but I guarantee you that Brom's going to be looking for a transfer portal quarterback, because that team's a quarterback away from really being a contender for the national championship, and they've had some great quarterbacks come through there, going all the way back to Johnny Unitas, and you know, you got Lamar Jackson won the Heisman there, and Malik Cunningham wasn't bad. So he's going to have to get a quarterback over there at Louisville. With that said, as I said, I can't trust the backup quarterback for Florida State either. I do like Mike Norvell, though. He's a really good coach. I think that Seminoles defense will come to play. We know Louisville has a really good defense as well. I won't have an official play on this, but stay tuned. Watch my egg. I will give out a play the day of, because I'm going to be watching the weather. It's supposed to be raining ugly. If the forecast gets bad on Saturday night in Charlotte like I'm anticipating, hey, man, I'll be on the under 47.5. I think this turns to a real ugly contest. Two coaches trying to protect their quarterbacks from ruining the game, and two dominant defenses controlling the line of scrimmage. So we'll hold off on that one.
Boy, the SEC game going to be lit. I'm kind of upset LSU not in there, but I can't complain because it's going to be some good football. We got Georgia back in the Georgia Dome. We got Bama back in the Georgia Dome. The book's giving Saban 6.5. Who you got? Saban or Kirby Smart, 5-star. Ooh, this is going to be one for the books.
Yeah, this one is going to be exciting. We've seen this one so many times. Both these teams have been in this situation so many times. They both have the same formula every year: a really good defense, a really strong running game, and serviceable quarterbacks, but most of all, they're well coached. Really anticipated that Alabama's going to play much better this week after having a really poor performance against Auburn. We've seen before, Nick Saban's teams do not play bad 2 weeks in a row. So I'll definitely be looking toward Bama just on the football sense. But then now we put in the market, and the market is saying take Bama, man. You got 78% of the public betting on Georgia, leading all of the championship games. You got the most tickets that are bet have been on Georgia at minus 6.5, and the most money that has been bet has been on Georgia. So I'll be riding with old Saint Nick. It's an old saying. It's actually the first rule of the 4-day laws of power: never outshine the master. So I think that Nick Saban gets one of his pupils back correct, because, hey, man, no one's had more success against Kirby Smart. Against Nick Saban than Kirby Smart has. He's the only one of his pupils that has really mastered beating him. And I think that Nick Saban is a really competitive guy. He's taken on a more laid-back approach now as he's gotten older, but that fire still burns, and those players love him, and they're going to come to play for him. Jalen Milroe is right here out of Katy, right outside the Houston area, and he's starting to feel himself, man. He was telling him he needs to be in the Heisman running last week after he pulled out that miracle at Auburn. I think that they don't make it that close this week. I would not be surprised if Alabama pulls out the outright on this game, but I definitely want to take them, and I always buy up to a key number. So we're going to go with Alabama plus 7 and Alabama plus 260 to win money line. Ring the alarm.
Ring the alarm.
All right, when we come back, we got my guy, the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know. He's been ghost pepper hot on these baller parlays, giving you guys winner after winner. Spread and I break down week 13 of the NFL football season. Hey, man, it's the end of the year. We're in December. We're starting to see a little snow on the games. We're about to start having some Saturday NFL soon, man. That means the year's over. When you start having Saturday NFL football, that means college football's already a wrap, and we're waiting on the bowls, and that means that the NFL is winding down and getting ready for the playoff stretch. Man, it seems like the season is over as soon as it gets here now, man. It flies just like the years. Hey, but when we come back, we're going to have that. We're going to have some picks from Cena on the Ball and Parlay, and of course, my pick on the Ball and Parlay. Send us out, Cena.
They say I only rap about getting dollars. I don't see the problem. Pardon me, I thought we was looking on it out of poverty. Is it just me? If so, let me not stand. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back in the wager world as always. Your boy Five Star in Vegas, and here with my guy, Cino Royale. No spider monkeys today, just steal a whole bunch of money, man. We're looking at these golf courses. Hey, man, we're watching these palm trees sway in the wind. Got the red mountains. It's a good day to be alive, and it's a great day to make some money, man. When your money's on the line, do it with the trusted sports book that gives you tools to win like MyBookie. At MyBookie, it doesn't matter if your team is up or down, you can easily cash out. You guys know what I always say, oatmeal always beats no meal. And if you're on the wrong side, hey man, you can still bet the game live to come out on top. Use MyBookie for daily odds boost, same game parlays, and take advantage of huge prize pool contests. Every single sack, fumble, and touchdown is another chance to hit a payday. To get started, go to mybookie.ag, and on your first deposit, use my promo code. That's 5-STAR, F-I-V-E-S-T-A-R. That's one word, that's 5-STAR, F-I-V-E-S-T-A-R. Hey, man, we're going to match your deposit up to $1,000. If you guys have any issues loading, hey, man, shoot us a DM. We'll see if we can help you out. Don't forget to try the MyBookie Money Bag to grab a potential Super Bowl front runner at crazy odds. Have you ever heard of plus 38,000 on the Eagles and Chiefs? MyBookie.ag is giving it away like that. You won't find odds like that anywhere else. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag. Hey, you know what time of the show it is. Hey, it's the people segment. We got the only Sacramento Kings fan that I know joining us right now. My guy, the OG of the wagering world. He's been with me since the very jump, since the very beginning. Spread a style. Ghost Pepper Wing Hot. I mean, hey, Spread, what's your record now on the wagering world?
I am 12-3.
Oh, my God. Just 9 units up. What you got for us today, Spread? Let's break down this NFL real quick so we can get hurry up and get to this ball and parlay so you can get these people the 13th win of the season.
I can't wait. Let's start with the Detroit Lions. We're heading to New Orleans to take on the Saints. Five-star, some consternation there in New Orleans around Derek Carr and the quarterback. The closest thing we have to a quarterback controversy currently in the NFL is I hear other players calling for Jameis Winston. How do you think the Saints will fare when they take on the Lions who are coming off that Thanksgiving loss?
Hey, you know I'm a diehard Saints fan. Me and you have been friends a long time. You know that I bleed black and gold, man. But I told you before the season started that I would not be too high on the Saints this season because I did not like the fact that they gave all that money to Derek Carr. You got Jameis Winston right there for half the price, and you could have spent the money on beefing up the offensive and defensive line and getting better skill positions. And then I also am not high on Dennis Allen, man. D.A. is not the guy. He's a great D.C., but he's not a great H.C. So in this game, their back's against the wall. I wouldn't be surprised if Winston gets some run. I could tell you this. The numbers are saying to take the Saints because it's a lot of the public going to be riding with the Lions that bounce back this week. Dan Campbell actually used to be a Saints assistant coach, but I'm going with the over.
Yeah, Lions team total over could be a good look as well. The Kansas City Chiefs will take on the Green Bay Packers. That will be our Sunday night football game. 6 seems an awful lot for these Kansas City Chiefs to be laying against the resurgent Packers team. Jordan Love finally living up to some of his potential.
It's going to be cold at Green Bay. Historic venue. The numbers are saying that the public is going to be on the Packers, but I'm going to be on them with them on this game. I think Jordan Love has turned the corner. He sure burnt me on Thanksgiving. Give me the Pack +6.
All right. And we're not just talking about the Houston Texans because the show is on in Houston. We're talking about the Houston Texans because this is one of the biggest games in the week when it comes to playoff implications. That's right. The red hot Denver Broncos take their team to Houston to take on CJ Stroud and the Texans. Texans laying 3.5 here. 5-star seems a little heavy, but usually I want to delay the 3.5. What are your thoughts?
This is another one I'll be looking to the total. The Texans are putting up a lot of points. Last week, they really got jobbed, man. Jacksonville got a lot of favors from the refs around the goal line to keep them in that game and to make sure that they score some points. Unbelievably bad P.I. calls against the Texas defensive backs. With that said, the Texans are also the number one team in the league for pass interference for DPI. So I think that the Broncos will be able to move the ball. I think Deshaun Payton and Russell Wilson will put up points, but I also know that C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowick are going to put up points against that Broncos secondary. So we're going to go over on this one.
All right, Five Star likes a lot of points there. So do the books. Totals of 47.5. The game of the week, the rematch of the NFC Conference Championship when the San Francisco 49ers once again head to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. Five Star, last year the Eagles got the win against the 49ers. Now they're catching 3 points. Seems kind of crazy to me. What are your thoughts?
I think that the books are setting up people. They're trying to get all these guys. They know a lot of money comes from the West Coast. It's a lot of 49ers love. It's a lot of bettors that love betting the 49ers. I just don't trust Brock Purdy. He has some bad memories in Philadelphia. Last time he was there, he kind of, you know, chickened out, if you ask me. I think that he could have played through if some people are saying it was a UCL, but I kind of watched body language, and I think regardless of whatever the injury was, Brock Purdy didn't want anything to do with that Philadelphia Eagles front four. And I think that the Eagles, they still know that everyone thinks, you know, that they're not the team, that their record doesn't really show who they are, but I believe in Jalen Hurts. What I love so much about this season with that Eagles team is that Nick Sirianni turned it around. Instead of being hot in the first half and dying off in the second half and losing these games that were close, now he pulls out his best plays for the second half, and they played their best in the second half, and they're a winning team. I'm going to be on the Eagles money line on this one.
All right, let's go to the people segment, the ball and parlay, and I'm going to get us started.
Yes, sir. Got to get to the ball and parlay.
That's right. We can argue about who the best teams in the NFL are, but I think that we all agree that the Carolina Panthers are the worst team, and that's the way I'm going this week. I'm going to go ahead and fade the worst team in the league. I'm going against the new coach bump. That's right, head coach Frank Reich fired just 11 games into his first season. The team was 1-10. Special teams coach Chris DeBoer will take over, but I don't know what he can do. Bryce Young, I think he's going to end up being good, but in this current system, not doing well. 29th in total QBR with a rating of 32.3. Only 74.9 passer rating. The Panthers offense ranks 30th in total yards per game and passing yards, and it's 29th in scoring per game. They only average 15.7 points per game. Tampa Bay, a rough loss there against the Colts, but now it's going to feel like easy mode as they go against the NFL's worst team. I think the Buccaneers bounce back big time with the home win. I'm laying the 5.5 with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Hey, once again, another great pick by spread. I like that one a lot. I've been fading Bryce Young all year. He's not getting protection. He's so small that the turnovers come rapidly. So spread looks to stay hot. What you guys, you know?
All right, Five Stars, only right that I roll with the home team, man. I'm going to take Tulane minus 3. They've been the best team in the past 2 years in the AAC. They ride that down in New Orleans. Their defense stepped up in the past couple weeks. So I think they keep the momentum and run all over SMU.
Actually, on Thursday morning, Lance Zierlein asked me on the bench about that game, and I told him I did lean Tulane, so we'll be both on that side, little bro. Me, I'm going to go to the MAC. We got Toledo facing off against Miami, Ohio. You guys know how I love the MAC. I love to go look at the smaller divisions and learn all the players and the coaches. And Toledo has Jason Candle. They have a great quarterback who's been there for a while. But he is up and down. He's one of those kind of kids that he wins games, but he has games where he's on fire and hitting every shot deep because they throw the ball a lot deep. And then other times he's very inaccurate. And then on the other side of the ball, you got Miami, Ohio. Blaine Gabbert's little brother, Brett Gabbert, has been the quarterback there the last 4 years, and every year tended the same way with him being injured. He never seems to get to the bowl games. He gets hurt in the regular season annually, and this year he was replaced again by Avion Smith, who replaced him last year as well. What I've noticed about Miami, Ohio, is that their coach, Chuck Martin, tends to open up the offense late in the season in these conference championship games and these bowl games. They had put up a lot of points in the Bahamas Bowls a couple years ago, and I think that they do the same this year. I think that they open up the offense. They usually are really slow and, you know, don't score a lot of points. They play at a really slow pace, but I think this game that they are able to put up some points. They're inside the dome at Ford Field. It's a pretty fast track, and I know that Toledo's going to be able to put up some points. Jason Candle loves to put up points. That's their coach, and he's a really offensive-minded guy. You got a really low number to be playing this game inside in a college game. It's 43.5, but they could get to that in the first half, man, with this being the championship game. And I know that both teams will be pulling out all the stops. So my play will be the over 43.5 between Toledo and Miami, Ohio in the MAC championship game. I expect more points than the books do on this one. All right, that concludes episode 13. We appreciate you guys for tuning in. As always, we're anywhere that you can find a podcast, man. We're on every platform from Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can go find us, of course, on the 97.5 main page anytime that you're looking for us. So we'll be here every Friday, and we'd love for you guys to download the podcast, like the podcast. And man, it's a great listen. It's a great thing to have on when you're working out, while you're hanging, while you're chilling, while you're making a drive. Man, you're getting some good information and you're getting some good sounds from my super producer Casino Royale. I even want to thank my guy Sean King for stopping by today, giving us a lot of information about his time in the NFL. As always, follow my guy Spreadastare at Spreadastare. Follow my guy Cino at Cino Royale. You can follow me at 5-Star in Vegas, spell out the 5. As always, this episode is dedicated to my father, the greatest Houston sports fan to ever walk the earth, John H. Lindsay. I do this for you, Dad. Hey, guys. Conference Championship Week. Exciting football. We're getting down the stretch run. See you next Friday. This is The Wagering World.
Pop the champagne, we just won the championship. Thanks to home field advantage, Houston keep that shit. All drums, K-packs, tracks, and bricks weigh everything. Whether it's a ton or a nick, pop the champagne, we just won the championship. Thanks to home field advantage, Houston keep that shit. All drums, K-packs, tracks, and bricks weigh everything. Whether it's a ton or a nick, I'm so precise. Can I like CBS, who needs a scale? We do, we got trust issues, my hopes are price, nice as a southern waitress, local pharmacist, filling script, CVS, the first the word, but that syrup money's the best. If you can tap into the R, you can run this west.